Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
So, we have FTR versus the Acclaimed main eventing Dynamite. And, you know, I'm preparing in my mind predictions, which we'll do in a little bit, for NXT Deadline this Saturday and Ring of Honor's final battle. And I'm looking at the Ring of Honor card up and down, and I'm thinking about FTR, and especially after the media call that Tony Khan had today and the just lame excuse given for FTR not being on this card. So this evening during the main event, I posted this on social media. I think Ring of Honor final battle needs a Briscoe's run-in at the end of Dynamite. Now, we didn't necessarily get the Briscoes running in, but after the Acclaimed retained their tag team champions, playing the Briscoes on television, the Gun Club. And look what the Gun Club put out there. Final battle. All right, people are saying my microphone is too loud. My mic sounds nice. Check one. Oh, shit. Yeah, you were all right. All right, how's that? My mic sounds nice. Check one. My mic sounds nice. Check two. My mic sounds nice. Check three. Are you ready? Anybody remember who did that rap? Yeah, if you don't answer in like 30 seconds, yeah, you're Googling it right now. That Kevin Milwaukee, I got to give him props, man. Salt and Pepper. Yes, I was a fan of Salt and Pepper back in the day. Imagine this Fat Guido in the 80s and the 90s. You know, just word him up. Word him up. I don't give a shit meter. It's all the way up. Yeah, so because the Briscoes are not yet allowed to be on TV. And remember one of my predictions in 2023, the Briscoes will be shown on AEW television. I get that vibe, but I got the vibe tonight that, you know, I think we're going to get the Briscoes versus FTR. So for everyone out there that was like, DT, what the fuck are you talking about? Deesh! Give a shit meter. All right. How's everybody doing tonight? It is Wednesday night, December 7th, 2022. Happy holidays to each and every one of you out there. For people that are asking, hey, DT, you have a new camera? Shame on you. That means you didn't check out the weekend shows. You didn't check out Monday either. It's all good. It's all good. Now, I got a new camera lens. Got a Sigma replacing this Sony. Nothing wrong with it. I just felt like having a little bit of an upgrade. So, all right, my apologies for the beginning of the show with the mic being a little bit too hot. So, but anyway, tonight we're going to talk little Dynamite, quick recap NXT. We will talk about Tony Khan's media call that was done earlier today. I do have a little bit of an audio clip that I will share with all of you in a few moments. And that will have to do with William Regal. Now, if you've been tuning into these shows for the last 2 weeks, pretty much Tony Khan, what he said today was exactly what we expected it to be. I don't know why people were so shocked and surprised that William Regal wanted to go back to WWE. I don't know why people were shocked and surprised that, you know, he wanted to, you know, help his son, Charlie Dempsey. You realize like 95% of wrestling fans out there today still had no idea that Charlie Dempsey was William Regal's son. You know, and I thought it was cute, the people out there that were, you know, refused to put Charlie Dempsey's name. They had to put his real life name, you know, to try to make it seem like they're more in the smart. So, but wow, D the original, that means you don't tune into Wednesdays over here either. You know, it's okay. You're not required. That's why we do shorter shows now. Gives you more opportunity to tune into, you know, more of the content. So, all right, so we're going to talk a little NXT, talk a little AEW, get out of here in about an hour. I guess first and foremost, you know, let's get the William Regal stuff out of the way, because William Regal was actually on Dynamite tonight, pre-recorded segment. I thought it was okay. You know, for those out there that maybe did not see tonight's Dynamite yet, what we got is a run-in from Rojo Bear with the $5 Super Chat. What's up, my friend? Excited that AEW is coming to El Paso, waking up early Friday morning to buy your ticket. Cool, man. You know, AEW, you know, all right, we kind of question the creative powers of Tony Khan. Oh, wait till I get into Ricky Starks. Jesus. I have some interesting shit to say tonight about Ricky Starks, with an incredible, top-shelf, amazing promo exchange with MJF tonight. One of my favorites in recent memory, and not just because it happened tonight. You know, yeah, it'll wear off, but tomorrow I'll probably be just as excited. But, you know, William Regal, we had a pre-recorded segment tonight, and AEW claimed that this was recorded weeks ago, right after William Regal turning on Jon Moxley. And basically what William Regal said in the promo was he's Blackpool Combat Club for life. And he was basically trying to explain why he did what he did to Jon Moxley. Now, look, people are sentimental to William Regal, so it's very difficult to boot a guy. If you listen to the crowd reaction as they're airing the William Regal segment, you could tell the fans are like, eh, you know, there's no logical reason why William Regal would turn on Jon Moxley like that. And basically what William Regal was doing, for people that didn't figure it out, this was the attempt to fix the total airball that they had 2 weeks ago with Bryan Danielson, trying to explain you know, his love for William Regal, and, you know, comparing it to his father, and, you know, like, the fans are like, bullshit, bullshit. There is no logical. And if the Blackpool Combat Club is disbanding, which I have said for the last 2 weeks, and I still think that it's done. I think the Blackpool Combat Club is done. You know, it'll be like NWO for life. You know, in their futures, BCC will always be very personal, emotional for all the guys that were in it. But this is the end of the Blackpool Combat Club. You know, so people today, oh, it's going to feel weird since Regal is the one who created it. Shut up. Let it play out. It's probably done. But William Regal is trying to, AEW William Regal tried to close this chapter better than the way it came off with Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley on television. And I think that's the best way they could have done it. And after William Regal finished saying what he's saying, and he had a message for Jon Moxley, and he's basically saying, yo, Mox, you know, the lesson learned, this was the last lesson that I needed to teach you all. You guys could teach Wheelie you to yourselves. Stay one step ahead. Keep your eyes in the back of your head. He's a poet, in case you didn't know it. And if you really think about it, you know, it really, still, he fucked Moxley out of the world championship. But they tried to close the book in a better way than the way it came across 2 weeks ago. And I think they did a decent job. Under the circumstance, they did a decent job. Now, if you didn't pay attention to Moxley's reaction to it, it was priceless. Because Wheelie Uta, Moxley, and Claudio were in the ring. Bryan Danielson was not there tonight. I don't know why, but you know, they were saying, oh, he's at the hospital, William Regal. But, you know, they're in the ring with Tony Schiavone watching this pre-recorded interview on the screen. And Schiavone asks Moxley, what's your reaction to that? And if you check it out again, if you saw it already or if you haven't seen it, you got to check out Mox's response. He does not address William Regal at all. He talks about how the three guys in the ring are pro wrestling through and through. And at Ring of Honor, the feud with the Jericho Appreciation Society ends and Moxley wants to fight someone on Rampage Friday. He said zero about the William Regal situation. And listen, no matter how much, you know, these guys beloved William Regal, and William Regal has earned the right, and some people may not like what I'm about to say, you know, even though William Regal's earned the right, you know, for where he is and what he does in the future, you know, he signed a deal with AEW. And if you remember my thumbnail from a week and a half ago, you know, what did we say for the last couple of weeks? Multi-year deal, opts out after year one, 90-day notice. When do you think the phone call was made to Mega the first time? September, 3 months ago, the end of September. When is his deal now up with AEW? The end of the year, 90-day notice. So everything that we said ended up being 100% true. You know, it wasn't that hard to figure it out. But here's where some people may not like what I'm about to say. You know, as far as the guys in the Blackpool Combat Club, as far as the guys, Moxley and others, you know, they might be a little bit perturbed at William Regal. Like, look, you know, your son is in NXT. He's got a whole career ahead of him. It's not like he's 38 years old and he might be released in 6 months if he doesn't cut it in NXT. You know, what was this sense of urgency to get out, you know, so quickly? Of course we know the answer. Triple H now, the head of creative, and he didn't want to leave WWE in the first place. I get it. But when you sign a deal, yes, there were options. There were options. That was the trick of this all. That was the asterisk. That's what we focused on the last 2 weeks. Opt out. Yes, he has every right to. Compare it to baseball. When you have a baseball player on your team and you absolutely love that baseball player, and that baseball player is signed to a multi-year deal, but that baseball player can opt out after the first year or the second, whatever it is. And when that player decides, you know what, I'm going to opt out early. You happy? No. Chances are you'd be pretty fucking pissed. Wait, you're leaving our team early? Why? So believe me when I tell you, Moxley, I'm not putting words in Moxley's mouth, but Moxley is not required to be all kumbaya, be part of the cake and ice cream crew, you know? And that could very well be the case. So I'm not going to put words in the mouths of any members of the Blackpool Combat Club, but I guarantee you, not everybody in that company is thrilled that William Regal is picking up and leaving, regardless of the reason. So anyway, Tony Khan did a media call earlier today. It went over an hour. I got 6 minutes for you. Now, maybe not even 6 minutes. What I did was I recorded the whole conference call, but I edited down what Tony Khan said about the situation with William Regal, how everything went down. And I think this is interesting and important for personal reason. And it's something that we talked about in the past, that sometimes tragedy, sometimes a personal family situation, sometimes something that happens to you personally, yourselves, might be something that, you know, kind of like light something in your head to maybe take life a little more seriously, maybe to look at things a little bit differently. And Tony Khan revealed today that his mom had not only one stroke, she had two. And she's got some major heart issues. Major health issues, I should say, not necessarily heart. Anybody that's been tuning into my show for the last couple of years, look what's happened to my family. It affects me every single day. And Tony Khan, in the midst of him trying to deal with his mom's situation, trying to take care of his mother, having his father and his sister taking care of their mother, you know, and wife. You know, in the midst of all of this, William Regal, you know, now wants to spend more time with family, spend time with his son. And Tony Khan today, when he talked about William Regal, he brought up his mom multiple times. Now, a little disclaimer, please. I hope nobody gets mad at me when I say this. I edited 95% of everything that Tony Khan said about his mom out of the clip. And I did it for only one reason. Because if I talk about my mom and how much I care about her and his situation, I'll talk for 20 minutes. I'll talk for 2 hours if I could. And Tony Khan kept repeating the same things over and over and over and over and over again about his mom because he loves her and he cares about her. And this shook him to a level. I mean, talk about an honorable media call today. You know, at the end of it, I was like, holy shit, you know, is this the same Tony Khan that we usually deal with? I mean, you could see that this really, really knocked him to a different level. Makes you see life a little bit differently. So I edited all that out so we could just stay on the point of William Regal. So anyway, let's throw this out there. Like I said, I think the clip with William Regal may have gone 15 minutes or so. I chopped it down to 5 or 6. That's how much it was talked about as far as his family. But here is Tony Khan. Yes, he didn't name drop WWE. He said another wrestling promotion. But here is what happened with William Regal. And then once it's done, I'm going to tell you about this special stipulation about WWE television, because I actually do have an answer for you for that, for anybody that's already asking that question. But here is Tony Khan. Enjoy.
William Regal had approached Mega and said that, you know, and it was all very legitimate, valid stuff. Basically, he's got a son who works in another wrestling promotion, and he really wanted us at the end of the year when we had the option to renew his contract. He was asking that we would nothing bad. We're having a great time working together, but that this is an opportunity for him to go back and work in these really golden years of his career with his son and do things he likes to do, coaching, and he's got friends that he would like to go back and coach with. And it's a very complex situation for AEW because he's a huge part of what we're doing on screen, and we really value him, and there's multiple storylines that he's involved in at this point. As we were going to Toronto that week, obviously I had a lot on my mind. And on the Sunday night, I think that's October 16th, I want to say, and my mom is asleep, and I got a message from Regal. And it was asking if we could talk. And I've made time to talk to him, and I went outside the hospital. And so I'm sitting out on a park bench out in front of the Mayo Clinic on Sunday night. And we had this really long, good talk, and it was very positive. And he really had, I think, good intentions, I'd like to say, for why he wanted to go back. And it made a lot of sense to me that he would want to work with his son and be with his son. And he said to me, honestly, and it made sense, you know, given where you're sitting right now, does it make sense to you that I would want to go back and be with my son? And at that point where I was sitting, yeah, it really did make a lot of sense to me. And frankly, the last thing I wanted to do at that moment was prevent any parent and any child, any son from being together. As I was sitting on a park bench at the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, you know, while my mom was sleeping inside and recovering from a major operation. And so I told him, you know, I do think, I don't know how we're going to do it yet. I'm going to have to do a lot of thinking. It's going to require more changes. I referenced earlier, there's been a lot of that this year that we've tried to make the best of everything. And I really do believe we've been able to have great events through it all. You know, there were a lot of changes going into Forbidden Door, but I thought it was one of the best pay-per-view shows of the year. There were a lot of changes going into Full Gear, but really I thought it was one of the best events of the year. And it was the start of a new period for AEW. And I had to think about that. But I also had to think about family, and given that's, you know, where I was at and where he was at, it made a lot of sense that we would try to accommodate him and that request. As I was sitting there, you know, praying that my mom was going to be able to recover from this major operation she just had that weekend, And given where I found myself and given where he was, I just thought it made sense maybe that I would not exercise that option here. So I said I would consider it and started working on changes, and it's basically another complete overhaul. And like I said, we had made major changes going into Forbidden Door. We made major changes. And from then on, you know, we made changes to get to full gear and through full gear as strong as possible. And I thought Title Tuesday was a great show. To say we leaned into things with Regal and MJF would be an understatement. But I think that was a real-life situation, too. And that 20-minute promo was outstanding. It was tremendous storytelling, I think. And, again, it set a table for a different direction that helped us get to where everyone wanted to be. Later that week, we had Rampage live at Daly's Place in Jacksonville. And I sat with Regal for over 90 minutes in my office afterwards. And this is probably the longest one-on-one in-person talk I've ever had with him. And, you know, we talked, and I told him I'll make major sacrifices to this company to do the best thing for you and your family, because this is a family-first company. And the person I'm releasing, you know, later this month, who's still with us, I think it's fair to say, through the holiday, has been an essential part of multiple TV stories and is still an essential part of the TV as of tonight. And we've done a lot of things to help him create the best situation he can for his family. A great pay-per-view show, and now for Lord Regal. I'm wishing him the best, and he knows I wish him the best. And we've had conversations even this week, and he's, you know, I think he's grateful for what I did, but also I know he enjoyed his time here, and I've enjoyed the time with him. And it's hard to see him go, but it was a challenge to arrive in a place where we were able to make it compelling, and he's not gone yet. Now we're going into Wednesday Night Dynamite tonight, and a big week with the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. And, you know, in pro wrestling, you have people butting heads in the ring and also backstage. And it took a lot of hard work to get to where we are. You know, in the end, there's a lot of happy endings here. And I'm most happy that my mom is doing better. And that whole situation probably led me to a place where I had a better understanding of the reasons why Lord Regal would want to be in a place where he could work with his son as much as he wants and be with family. And I probably won't be able to facilitate every family reunion, but I do try to make this a family-first company, and especially in this situation, that's what we've done.
Okay. Got to give him all the respect. As I was listening to that, I thought of something also. I'm a big fan of EC3, but for people that were emailing me and DMing me, you know, that's why we never even talked about that garbage on this show. You know, the idea that Regal was leaving because of the management stuff, it was a fucking joke, and that's why we didn't even acknowledge it. Ridiculous, right? All right, now, obviously a ton of people out there got it wrong, and some are still getting it wrong. When you opt out of a year, okay, opt out means that contract is not going to be exercised. All right, there is a, pardon the pun, gentleman's agreement that for the beginning, we don't know the time frame. Could be 3 months, could be 6 months. Some people are saying a whole year because they still think that the next year he can't do it. But in the beginning, William Regal, when he returns to WWE, is not going to be an on-air character. But as I said, and remember this, because look, I know some people get mad, you know, when we toot our own horn. But you go back for the last 2 weeks, no one out there got it more right. Remember this part of it also, because this will be right also. William Regal will be a character back on TV. And he will cut a promo for NXT or something else. He will appear in some capacity. But I guarantee you it'll be with I don't want to say the okay, but with the approval of Tony Khan. Tony Khan does not call the shots after this. But out of respect for him giving William Regal this out and letting him, you know, finish, you know, his final years. As long, look, WWE could still release Regal. I mean, just because Triple H is now a creative doesn't mean that people have a contract for life. But if William Regal is there for the long haul, that might be William Regal's last stand, you know, being involved in a very hardcore, deep way in pro wrestling. And the fact that Tony Khan was this generous, this was a big deal. This is a big fucking deal. It's only fair that he talks to Tony Khan and say, look, you know, this is what we want to do. And sure, William Regal could do it anyway. WWE could do it anyway. You know, they probably would look real awful doing so. It's not going to get to that point. These are just conspiracy theorists out there. You know, there is a professional respect. And say what you want about Tony Khan. Say what you want. I mean, I call him a petulant child probably more than anyone else. But at the end of the day, you know, I've always said this, and I've never wavered from it. You know, this guy has a love for pro wrestling, and when it's someone that he respects, like, he really, really, you know, goes to bat. And I know some people are going to say, well, what about his love and respect for CM Punk? Well, you know, that's not necessarily on a personal level. You know, I don't recall any long historic, long time friendship or even a new built friendship between the two. You know, so we only see what we see in front of our eyes. We can only speculate behind the scenes. But most of the time, these conspiracy theories are usually not true. So props to Tony Khan for doing this. You know, props for everyone else involved. And listen, you know, I'm very happy for everybody across the board. And, you know, it's sad and it's terrible that a personal family member undergoes, you know, life-threatening health issues. And, you know, his mom is still battling. She's a fucking fighter. You know, but sometimes, you know, like a personal family issue or something to yourself changes you. You know, I'm guarantee you there's a lot of you out there that have suffered loss and it changed you. There's a lot of you out there who suffered scares health-wise and it changes you. You lose someone close to you, personal friend, family member, for whatever reason, it changes you. You know, I over the years, I get people to say, oh, DT, you've become so fucking soft and this and that. Oh, I've had things happen that change me. And this situation, you could hear it. This has kind of changed Tony Khan a little bit. Will it change his viewpoint creatively in the world of pro wrestling? No. And let's segue to Ricky Starks. I think it's only fair. If you are in any way a fan of Ricky Starks and you did not see Dynamite tonight, I would go check out the confrontation that he had with MJF. Anybody that's been following this show, going back to when he was in NWA, knows how much we are fans of Ricky Starks. Absolutely have said it. If I had a dollar every time I said, you know, why isn't AEW pushing this man harder? You know, even when he had the feud, remember myself with JD, we were talking about him feuding with Powerhouse Hobbs, and he said, you give it 2 weeks, and that'll be dead. And look where it is. It's dead. But the last 2-3 weeks, something has changed with television when it comes to Ricky Starks. He wins the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal tonight. Last week, he wins a tournament, and now he gets 2 shots at MJF for a championship. Now, if I could be a picky wrestling fan for a second, I think it kind of sucks that a battle royal and a tournament was the only way to try to figure out how do we get Ricky Starks to feud with MJF. Think about it. Think about it. You know, when you win a tournament, you don't, it's, some people may call it lazy booking. Oh, we don't need it. Let's think of a really good storyline. Why MJF and Ricky Starks want to kill each other. You know? Oh, we'll just create a tournament and they'll win it. There we go. Easy. Easy peasy. You know, you can't, and after what we saw tonight, you know, there was no need for him to win a tournament. There's no need for him to win a battle royal. You know, it could simply just be challenging for that championship. How many times do they have open challenges? Do they have championship eliminator matches? You mean to tell me that you can't have Ricky Starks face somebody out there and catch someone off guard and get on a momentum, you know, and just organically? So now you see, if you thought the fans were instrumental in Jamie Hayter becoming the undisputed women's champion, pay close attention of what's going on right now with FTR, because I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck what people say. You know, FTR has had a tremendous 2022. No doubt about it. When it comes to AEW, they have had an awful 2022. Just go look up the records. Take the AAA stuff out. Take all the other shit out. Just look at the AEW stuff. They have been treated like shit. And honestly, I thought about this the last couple of days, and I kind of feel bad saying it after hearing what happened with Tony Khan's mom. But, you know, I still think, as business-wise, it needs to be said. You know, what do we always say about Tony Khan? Tony Khan, with the amount of people that he has signed, and he doesn't know what to do with half of them. You know, look at the media call today and the excuses he was given for FTR. You know, not just for Ring of Honor. Now, obviously, they had something up their sleeve. You know, we got it tonight. That's why I tweeted what I tweeted earlier. But, you know, if you look at overall for 2022, it's been a shit year for FTR and AEW. You know, okay, let them get all the accolades from the other promotions and we'll just, you know, piggyback that. And this way we can just give the championships and give them victories to other people. But I've always said Tony Khan comes off as the child who has every Power Rangers, because that guy passed away, that's on everybody's mind, but has every Nintendo video game. I know that's kind of dated, but a child that has every Nintendo video game. Ma, I want this game. And he plays it for 5 minutes, and now it's on the shelf collecting dust. You walk into the room, and there's thousands of toys laying around everywhere. You know, son, we got to clean this up. Son, you know, we got to throw some of this stuff out. All right, all right, all right. And meanwhile, you pick up, I don't know, you pick up a Riho toy. No! No! That's mine! No! Then you pick up, Brian Cage. I'm a Brian Cage fan. That motherfucker fucked up 3 times tonight in that battle royal. Did you see what he did? Awful. Awful. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's stay on Ricky Starks for a minute. Tony Khan is like the kid that has every toy in the house and plays with it for a second. And it's not about what he does with the toys. It's how many he has. FTR is a perfect example of a reflection of Tony Khan. It's more about how many championships they have, not what is being done with them. So it's like, okay, yeah, we're going to bring them into the company. We're going to keep them in the company. And we'll sell them like $1 trillion. But they'll have everybody else's titles. And we'll put Dax in singles competition, and he loses every single time. And then we'll do six-man tags. And then we'll have him defend the Vagina de Reyes title. You know, the Regina de Wave title. Like, it's about, oh, look at how many toys they have. But yet, when you really think about the company that's supposed to matter the fucking most out of this, they're futile. They're futile. So Ricky Starks, tonight, this guy cut the promo of his life. He went back and forth with MJF tonight. Now, I can't play the audio, but you just look at Ricky Starks' face. You look at how confident that man is as he's cutting the promo. Was it picture perfect? Was it 10 out of 10? No. But everything that Ricky Starks was saying, he nailed it. and it was believable, and you felt it. And MJF, probably for the first time, better than the confrontations with CM Punk, better than the confrontations probably with anybody that he has had, everything that Ricky Starks tonight wasn't because they're in Texas or anywhere else. That motherfucker nailed it tonight. And everything that he said, yes, there was pre-planned lines. Hey, Max, I'm going to call you MaxiPad. You know, what do we used to say back in the day with The Rock when everybody used to joke and think that he was on steroids? Said, oh, he'll turn into the pebble. You know, that's a 90s reference. But they went back and forth, and Ricky Starks was assertive and was perfect with that. And as I'm watching it, I'm saying to myself, of course he ain't beating MJF for the championship. He's not. We know that. But what happens a month from now? What happens 2 months from now? What happens in 2023 with Ricky Starks? And listen, guys, with all due respect, you look at AEW for the first 3+ years in existence. Is there any track record that when someone really gets behind someone in AEW, that suddenly it's like, oh, we got to change direction. No, we got to put the fucking heavyweight title on that person. We got to go to the moon. This might be AEW's, not necessarily yes movement, but people are quickly in flocks getting behind Ricky Starks, and the guy is delivering. He delivered tonight. And what I said to everybody earlier was, save that pitcher. Save that pitcher. Of course, he ain't winning the championship right now, but save that picture and bottle that promo. What happens with Ricky Starks in 2023? Does he age like fine wine? Does Tony Khan take his time, maybe the summer or the fall of 2023, he becomes heavyweight champion? Where is Ricky Starks on the food chain a couple of months from now? Is he going to be in the upper card? How many people is he going to defeat that have losses that you could count on one hand? How many people is he going to defeat one-on-one that have losses in the single digits? How many? When we talked about FTR's wins in 2022, do you remember who we brought up? The Gun Club was the most prestigious team of them all. Two guys were jobbers. They're not even under contract, and the others, I can't even remember. Go look it up. So Ricky Starks, what he did tonight was beautiful. Next week is going to be a hell of a lot of fun. 2 weeks from now is going to be a hell of a lot of fun. And then what? And then what? My fear is 2-3 months from now, we're going to look back and say, remember that night with fucking Ricky Starks? He fucking sent a message to AEW management, to the EVPs, to everybody there that motherfucker belongs in the main event picture. And sorry, I look at the track record, and what happens? Do they age him like fine wine, or do they keep the cap off the bottle and all the fizz goes away and it turns flat because, oh, there's so many people on the roster. We don't have time. We got to give everybody a chance. That's what my fear is. I love what I saw tonight, but I'm not going to be part of the cake and ice cream club that's going to be, that was epic, that was amazing, he nailed it, look, I have goosebumps, look, I'm unbelievable, I'm shaking right now, holy fucking shit, I watched it 15 times already. I don't care about that in the end. What I care about is, where does it go from here? Once he's done with MJF, of course MJF will go to Bryan Danielson. We're not saying in any way, shape, or form that Ricky Starks has any shot of becoming AEW champion right now. It's not happening. But does he start the ladder to the top at some point in 2023? Or is this just, oh, it's great TV, fucking great for the next 2-3 weeks, and then now he's on Rampage fighting fucking Allen Angels? What do you think? What do you think? That's my fear. That's my fear. And then when Ricky Starks 2 months from now and people start giving the complaints like they did towards FTR, and Tony Khan says, well, you know, we have this big roster, and, you know, unfortunately, because, listen, everything that Tony Khan said today was not perfect. When he talked about FTR, and not just the Ring of Honor, pay-per-view coming up. Now, they do have a match, as we talked about. But when talking about over the last year, he said that he had to change things because of injuries to others. He says that the lack of use with FTR is no fault of their own, that they've been thrown off a lot of matches because of injuries to other people. You mean to tell me that in 2022, the biggest win that FTR got on television under the AEW banner is the Gun Club? And they couldn't put anybody else together because of injuries? Guys, with all due respect, nothing against AR Fox. They fucking did an open challenge with Samoa Joe for the TNT Championship. Why can't FTR just have an open challenge? Or why can't another team come out there and issue an open challenge and FTR answers it and wins it? What about this fucking match? Wardlow is the TNT champion. He takes on Matt Taven. Nothing against Matt Taven. But you mean to tell me that you couldn't find anybody on the roster? Let's go one step further. What about this? The Death Triangle defending the Trios Championships against AR Fox and Top Flight. Well, you know, because of injuries, we really couldn't give, like, FTR the matches. You can't fucking come up with this. Let's do one more. Now, I know some people might get mad at this one, but look at Juice Robinson versus Jon Moxley. I'm not saying that Juice Robinson isn't a top-shelf player, but at that time, he's not even a regular on the main roster. Hell, that motherfucker didn't even come out to save Darby Allin tonight. Probably couldn't appear. Maybe because of weather, who knows? But these are all random fucking matches. They're random matches. And you're going to pull that, well, you know, because of injuries, we really couldn't do that. And you do nothing. So, you know, let's, you know, I think, you know what's sad about it? When I listened to the media call, you know what just kept ringing through my head? That some of these people who asked questions tonight about various topics, I think they were more gushing that, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my, I asked Tony Khan a question, oh my God, oh my God, I made the media call, oh my God, 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 I can't believe it, they took my question, oh my God, oh my God, you motherfuckers didn't even ask about the Briscoes during the conference call. You motherfuckers didn't bring up half the things that you're supposed to bring up. So that's why when I tuned into it, I'm saying to myself, come on, man. Seriously? People are more gushing about the fact that they got to ask the question instead of asking a question that actually, you know, kind of challenges them a little bit. Yeah, but if I ask them something tough, they may not invite me back again. And oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I fuck you. Seriously. So anyway, he said he'll address the Ring of Honor TV situation after the pay-per-view. We'll see what happens with that. Something I find very interesting. I hope he means it. One thing I noticed about this media call, I don't know if some of you noticed it, but I noticed it right away. You know, we've been talking about Rampage and how drastically it's fallen. And one of the biggest complaints, look, I was originally going to reuse the thumbnail tonight, Force Feeding Honor. You realize that we were talking about Force Feeding Honor in May of this year. And then by July, it was full-blown. It was like an illness that was just spreading everywhere. Force Feeding Honor. And you get this very small group of people online. Hey, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. Yeah, you're part of the 400 people that show up. They're trying to get 4,000 people to show up. You get those 400 people. No, no, no. It's epic, amazing. It's not a big deal. It's fine. I love it. I love it all. Cake and ice cream club. So he said tonight, today, this afternoon, in a media call, more than once, that he's heard the criticisms about Rampage and about the main programming, and he's toning back Ring of Honor a little bit. He said that he's trying to limit the amount of Ring of Honor content on television. And he's also spicing up the Rampage roster, the matches, I should say. Where did we hear that before? I don't know. Wasn't it us back in October that starting November, Tony Khan was going to be amping up the quality of Rampage matches, go live a little bit more? How quick did that last? oh my God, we're getting Takeshita versus John Moxley on Friday. I don't mind that. We saw them battle in July, and it was an awesome match. What was it, Fyter Fest, I think they fought? But, you know, you're not going to fix Rampage by just giving some better names on the card. But, you know, very interesting that he admitted on a Ring of Honor media call that there's a lot of criticism about the Ring of Honor use on the programming. So I think they get a YouTube deal. Or I think they get a deal on Fight. Not going to be a cable TV deal. I'd be shocked beyond belief. Plus, like I said before, it's not that they can't pull it off. It's you realize how many people they actually have to pay to produce Ring of Honor TV content. So the only way to really get out of it on the cheap and use the same people is you're going to add an extra hour to the shows that are already happening. You know, they do Rampage taping. They're going to have to do a little Ring of Honor tapings there as well. Dynamite, you know, it's difficult already because they're already doing stuff. When they tape Dark and Elevation, they're probably going to have to tape a couple of Ring of Honor matches along the way. So you might see a little bit here added here, a little bit here added here, and that's how they put it all together every week. That's a lot of work. You got to pay people to do that, you know? So we'll see what happens. But I'm very, very curious to see where this goes. Other than that, as far as the media call goes, you know, he gave a lot of praise for Athena. The Juice Robinson contract is really interesting because I don't believe I have yet to see Tony Khan say, welcome to the family with the big Juice Robinson is All Elite banner. And I did a little searching earlier tonight. And I still couldn't find it anywhere. So I'm curious, what kind of deal did he sign? Nobody asked that. You know what they asked? Can Juice Robinson defend AEW championships in Japan? Motherfucker doesn't have a title yet. Nobody asked. You know, is he signed full-blown to AEW? Does he have, like, just a limited contract with Ring of Honor? You know, what's the deal? Nobody asked that. No. Can he defend in Japan? When we get to predictions, will he win a championship? Will he win one this weekend? It may be part of my predictions. I had no comment about Shane Taylor because with all due respect, I don't think they're going to commit to any long-term deal with Shane Taylor. They're not talking about the CM Punk stuff anymore because it's a legal issue, you know. So, Charlie, why don't you ask Tony Khan that? All right, let's just get into Dynamite very, very quickly. Because we've already run 48 minutes, and if I'm going to get out of here in like 30 minutes time, we got a little bit to cover here. So anyway, Dynamite opens up with the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal. Ricky Starks wins. The participants were Ricky Starks, Brian Cage, Dalton Castle, The Butcher, Sean Dean, Kip Sabian, Matt Hardy, Orange Cassidy, Lee Moriarty, Dustin Rhodes, Jungle Boy. Ricky Starks, obviously, the most over of them all. They continued a little bit of the feud with Matt Hardy and Ethan Page that we've been seeing on YouTube, which has been a hell of a lot of fun, and Dark, which is technically the same thing. Orange Cassidy got eliminated very early, and he got eliminated because of Kip Sabian, so that's obviously leading to an All-Atlantic Championship match, and we have something Friday. Oh, some people are fantasizing. Didi-dima! Oh, wait till we get to that. I know who he's facing. I know who Orange Cassidy's facing Friday. Diddy-dima. Brian Cage, I like the guy. I have voiced out my frustration of his lack of use on AEW television. What I saw today was unacceptable. If you go back and you watch it, Brian Cage literally forced himself over the top rope just on his own. It looked fucking awful. If you did that, even on an indie show, the fans would have chanted, you fucked up. It was beyond awful. Then on top of it, Jungle Boy misses a super kick, airball, and Brian Cage sells it full force anyway. And then he immediately gets eliminated afterwards. It was a combination that, honestly, I hate to say it, but if Brian Cage was in NXT right now, I think after 6 months, I think we know where Brian Cage would be. It was awful. There's no excuse for it. I know people out there are going to just look, the cake and ice cream club, get used to that phrase. That is what I'm calling people from now on. No more snowflakes, no more goofs, no more matarats. We call them the cake and ice cream club. Everything is epic, amazing, unbelievable. I love it. I have goosebumps. You know, I watched it 55 times. If I die tomorrow, I die a happy person. No, that was awful. And I'm a Brian Cage fan, and I have to say that. Jungle Boy and William Morrissey may be having a feud because William Morrissey not only eliminated Jungle Boy, but he fucking beat the balls off of him afterwards. And, you know, the theme tonight was let's see little guy get squashed by big guy. And let's find little guy that's willing to take insane in the membrane fucking bumps like this one. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, let me do a twilt-a-roll 360. And Darby Allin tonight taking a spine buster onto the wheel side of a skateboard. I mean, if I like Darby Allin, but if I'm a promoter of a company and I got a guy that's a young star still, and I say, hey, boss, you know what I want to do? You know, I want to take the bottom of a skateboard. I want to take those fucking metal wheels, you know, that don't move. They only go left or right, and they spin. They don't go in and out. And I want just to be thrown spine first onto them. You know what, guys? You know what? It ain't fucking Legos. Even though Legos hurt like a mofo, Darby Allin's job tonight was to make Samoa Joe look like a scary, unstoppable, unsympathetic, insane fucking killer. That's what Darby Allin's role was tonight. And he was taking bumps tonight that were incredible. And I'm saying to myself, this guy ain't wrestling 5 years from now. And if he is, it's going to probably be so watered down. I worry about his future. He's an adrenaline junkie. He's an adrenaline junkie. And I honestly, I just feel like, you know, somebody's got to intervene. Some of that shit tonight, and I'm not trying to be, you know, the softy guy, kill yourself. You know what I mean? Like, go do it. You know, you want to do it, you get hurt. Ain't my fault. It's like when I was a kid and the stove would be on and I'd be really curious. What would it feel like if I touched the burner, if I touched the hot stove? And my dad would be like, what are you doing? No, I just wanted to just see what it's like. And you know, my father would say, good. And I fucking touch it and the skin melts off of my finger. My father would be like, you ain't pointing to me now, motherfucker. You know, just because somebody wants to do it doesn't mean you do it. Just my opinion. So anyway, getting back to the Battle Royal. We get the final two participants, same as the tournament, Ethan Page, Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks gets the win. He has the back and forth with MJF afterwards. MJF calling him a low-budget rock. He's going to call him the Pebble from now on. He's going to beat his ass so bad that he's going to send him back to NWA and YouTube. Called him a Rudy Poo Candy ass. Dollar Store Dwayne. Ricky Starks had some gems for himself. Hey, you're a fifth-rate Roddy Piper. Calls him maxi pad, mocks his outfit, his nose is darker than the rest of his body, that he's got spray tan to cover his eczema. You know, I mean, they just threw jabs at each other tonight, and they fucking killed it. They killed it. So they're going to face off next week, Dynamite Diamond Ring, and the title. Afterwards, we get a low blow by Moxley to Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks hits him with a spear. And that's just a little prelude of what we're going to get next week. So winter is coming. And so is their 2 or 3 week feud. So I hope it goes longer. I hope after a couple of weeks when Ricky Starks has to move on away from MJF, I hope somebody important bumps into Ricky Starks and makes fun of him for losing. And that leads to a big time win. I want to see how many people that have less than 10 losses in AEW. I want to see how many people he defeats over the next 12 months. I'm not even saying a month or two. Let's see over the next year. I guarantee you it's probably going to be under five times it happens, maybe even less than that. John Moxley cuts a promo. This is all Elite Wrestling, not all Elite talking, but he's talking. He issues a challenge for Friday. Takeshita accepts it. Samoa Joe beats Darby Allin. Darby Allin attempts a coffin drop. Joe catches him, throws on the muscle buster, and stretches him out. Afterwards, spine buster on the back of the skateboard, amongst other things. You know, Darby Allin made Samoa Joe look like 15 years younger, 10 years younger. We get a backstage segment. You know, Kip Sabian got eliminated from Dustin, and Kip Sabian got a little boo-boo on his head. So Orange Cassidy shows up. He's like, hey, if you want a title shot, just ask. In fact, you know, I'll be at Rampage on Friday. And Kip Sabian, you know, it's supposed to be like, oh, well, I'm hurt, so I can't fight you. But I have someone else that I could. So basically, Orange Cassidy's going to fight somebody that Kip Sabian chooses. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? I think you are thinking what I'm thinking. I think the Redeemer, the Redeemer's friend, Billy Mitchell. Bring out Billy Mitchell Friday. You think they would bring back Miro, but that would make him more as a heel? Do we want to see Orange Cassidy defeat Miro? I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to be Miro. I think it would be awesome. I think Miro would be cheered like a motherfucker. But I don't know if I want Miro to be aligned with Kip Sabian once again. So give me Billy Mitchell. I'll tune in. I'll even host a fucking watch party. Claudio Castagnoli and Wheeler Yuta defeat Jake Hager and Daniel Garcia. Moxley was in the corner of Claudio and Wheeler. Sammy was in the corner of Daniel Garcia and Jake Hager. Claudio with the uppercut to Jake Hager defeats him. Bad news for Claudio on Saturday, I think. By the way, you know, Claudio takes Jake Hager's purple hat, kicks it into the crowd, and Claudio got booed out of the building for it. You know, sports entertainers actually are entertaining, if you actually really think about it. Fans kind of into it. Why do you think they do Jericho's full song before they come out? Crowd is into the sports entertainers. All right. Sammy Guevara tries to get involved towards the end of the match. Moxley stops that. Claudio gets the win on Jake Hager. As we said earlier, the Regal promo, you know, which really didn't lead to any explanation or any answer from Moxley. We get something else, and I'm sorry. I hate to say it. But the House of Black, it's awesome that they're back. They look cool as always. But everyone, the crime is treason. The verdict is war. The sentence is execution. They have declared war on everyone in AEW. That's everyone except for Trios champions. And I'm sorry. When you go on a promo and you declare war, I don't know about you guys, but when I like learned social studies and I learned about the War of 1812 and I learned about other wars, like people came out and they fought and they eliminated the problems. Basically, what Malachi Black said tonight was, we're at war with everyone. And if you want to fight, us, you know where to reach us. That's pretty much what they said today. The last 2 weeks were great. They show up, they beat the fuck out of everybody. But the promo today was the opposite. We declare war on everyone. Okay, let's see them show up and affect the Trios match next week. Let's see them attack the Elite in the back. Let's see them attack the Death Triangle. Give me something. No, it's we declare war, but if we'll have war as long as you start it. You know, it's like, I'm going to beat the fuck out of you. After you throw the first punch. Nope. Jamie Hayter does an interview, and she's going to grant a championship match for the winner of the Regina the Wave Championship between Hikaru Shida and the Bunny from Friday. So we'll probably get Shida versus Jamie Hayter next week. Winter is coming. By the way, interesting segment tonight. January 11th may be the next time we see Saraya wrestle again, because we had Saraya, who's going to be interviewed for Tony Schiavone, gets interrupted by Britt Baker, who's not with Jamie Hayter, and Britt Baker offers tickets for Saraya to be sitting front row January 11th to watch Britt Baker wrestle. And Saraya's like, no, I'll take you on. And Britt Baker's like, I never said that. Let's have a tag match. You go find a partner. So January 11th, Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter will be teaming up to face Saraya and a partner of her choosing. So we'll see what happens. But that is an awful long away. So that means we probably will not see Saraya in a match before January 11th. And that's fine, you know, if that's what they're going to do. So we'll see what happens. Charlie, don't confuse me by saying Wednesday. Didn't she say January 11th? No. They did not announce that for next week. Because when I saw the credits towards the end, they did not bring that up. No, they did not bring that up. Okay. We had the baddies and Jade Cargill beat Sky Blue, Madison Rayne, and Kiera Hogan. Basically, the entire match was Sky Blue getting the shit knocked out of her. And then at the very end, Kiera Hogan gets the hot tag. For about 30 seconds, she's cleaning house until Jade Cargill just plants her with kind of like a modified chokeslam. I don't know what it was. Madison Rayne tags in. She's immediately hit with Jade. She gets jaded. Match is over. Jade was in there for probably about a minute, and Kiera Hogan did about 30 seconds. And then we had the main event. As we opened up talking about FTR losing to the Acclaimed. Now, we were at the 9:40 mark, so it was about 20 minutes left, 25 minutes left of Dynamite, even though they set a one-hour time limit. And it was a very competitive match. They had Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal on the sidelines watching. We didn't see the Gun Club. And, yes, we were all, you know, over the last week concerned that it would turn into a clusterfuck with those guys getting involved in the end. And I was holding out hope that maybe we'll get a crazy surprise and the Briscoes will get involved and this will lead to the Briscoes versus FTR at Final Battle. We kind of got that. FTR, you know, hits the big rig on Max Caster at the very end, but he kicks out. They kicked out of almost everything. Let me tell you something. Even though FTR lost this match, FTR really helped put over the Acclaimed even more. I didn't mind the scissor part at the very end. It was an excellent match. And the Acclaimed are still very, very young in their careers, and they're champions right now. And guess what? They're actually earning their pay. They are backing it up. They're not perfect in the ring, and there is a lot of fluff at times, but in the end, they hung with FTR. And if you can hang with FTR, I mean, that's really saying something about a tag team. It was a decent match, man. I mean, at the end, FTR loses nothing, and the Acclaimed gained. So in the end, it was a plus-plus. I know a lot of people wanted FTR to win, but was there really any chance of FTR dethroning the Acclaimed this quickly? Yeah, I think for some people they may have thought it. But I think most of us thought it would end with some type of clusterfuck. And remember this, especially when we were talking about Ricky Starks before. That's the one big disadvantage that Ricky Starks has. If he was in WWE, there would be some disqualification victories against some big names. AEW, that may change in 2023. You may see more disqualification victories in 2023 because you can't just depend on interference and fruit roll-ups. So if Ricky Starks is going to get some substantial wins in 2023 against big-name stars, how do you get those wins? So we might see some more DQ victories. So at the very end of the night, as I showed you before, the Gun Club are in the back speaking on behalf of the Briscoes. Kind of funny how they couldn't even spell out the words, the Briscoes. They were able to say it, but, it's spelled out in blood, Saturday, Final Battle. And it will be a double dog collar match. So FTR versus the Briscoes will be taking place at Final Battle Saturday. So now, very quickly, let's do some quick predictions. Now, unfortunately, you know, I started the show less than 5 minutes after Dynamite ended. I did not get a chance to start pulling the graphics that they probably made up of the Briscoes versus, you know, the FTR. And unfortunately, no one out there even put up the one of Samoa Joe versus Juice Robinson. I'm sure by now somebody probably did. So I kind of had to improvise tonight, which I don't think anybody's going to mind. But here we go. We got Final Battle this Saturday, and we will run through the matches fairly quickly. All right. Opening match. Let's see. There we go. All right. Opening match. It's not going to be the first one, but I'm going to go with it. Since we did not have Juice Robinson, I'll just Photoshop him in there. There you go. There you go. I threw Juice Robinson in there. I think Juice Robinson could beat Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe would still have the TNT championship. And I almost think that AEW may have put the TNT championship on Samoa Joe so he could drop the Ring of Honor championship and still have gold in some capacity. If Samoa Joe was going to drop the TNT title, we wanted him to drop it to Powerhouse Hobbs. That doesn't seem to be happening anytime soon. So believe it or not, I'm actually going to go with Juice Robinson, because if he gets a loss here, like, where do you go with Juice Robinson? You know, so I think if you're going to put him on the map in AEW quickly, give that championship to Juice Robinson. It sure as hell feels, and I wouldn't be surprised if Samoa Joe joins the alliance with Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. And that is an AEW alliance. That's not a Ring of Honor alliance. So I'm going to go against the grain, and I'm going to go with Juice Robinson to beat Samoa Joe to win the TV championship. All right, next, we have Daniel Garcia defending the Pure title against Wheeler Yuta. And, you know, as much as I know AEW is really behind Wheeler Yuta, I think Daniel Garcia having a Ring of Honor championship is almost a must right now. He's one of the few people that they know that Ring of Honor fans are very satisfied with being a champion. So I'm going to go with Daniel Garcia to retain that championship. We may get a little bit of clusterfuck. We may get some interference. But I'm going to go with Daniel Garcia to beat Wheeler Yuta and retain his championship. Next on the list. Wait, why is this out of place? Hold on a second. I might have to... I don't know, I feels like the match selection I have here a little out of place, because I know that I had this match a little bit later in the card. You know what? Let me see if I could, let's start this again. I just want to go through these two. There we go. All right. There we go. All right. Dalton Castle and the boys taking on the Gates of Agony and Brian Cage. I think especially after Brian Cage's appearance tonight. And Dalton Castle was quite over in the Battle Royal. I mean, you had the antics where the boys kept catching him, and it was a little goofy with Brian Cage doing that. But I'm going to go with Dalton Castle and the boys to win this one. They're more over with the fans than people realize. I think the Gates of Agony and Brian Cage lose. Do I think there is a turn on Brian Cage? I'm not so sure, because Ring of Honor doesn't happen all that often. So there's really like no rush to have a major swerve like that, especially... Oh, speaking of swerve, yeah, we'll get into that one in a little bit. All right, we already talked about Samoa Joe versus... There you go, Juice Robinson. I magically threw him on there. All right, we already talked about Wheeler Yuta and Daniel Garcia. Okay, there we go. Shane Taylor and JD Griffey versus Swerve and O'Glory. I know you're probably like me. Why is Swerve and O'Glory still a tag team? I think this ends up being a setup. I think there is a very good possibility that Swerve Strickland turns on Keith Lee and maybe aligns himself with Shane Taylor and JD Griffey. So I'm going with Shane Taylor and JD Griffey to get this win, and I think Swerve and O'Glory will be officially done as a tag team once and for all at Ring of Honor Final Battle. We will see. But, yeah, that might be a new trios alliance in Ring of Honor. Mercedes Martinez versus Athena. Believe it or not, everyone, I'm going with Athena to win this championship. I am a huge fan for Mercedes Martinez. I've been a fan of hers for 20 years. This change of attitude that they have done with Athena in AEW has been spectacular. And she's gotten a lot of heat. You know, very interesting to hear the reaction of people in wrestling towards Athena. And I think people are going to start pushing for Athena versus Jade Cargill. That's a match that I've been talking about here. I think you put the Ring of Honor championship on Athena, that kind of gets the focus off Athena for a little while. So I'm actually going with Athena to defeat Mercedes Martinez to win the women's championship. Where you go from here with Mercedes Martinez, I like to see a team up with Madison Rayne and be like a veteran women's tag team. I know they don't have women's tag team championships. I don't think they need them right now. But I think Mercedes Martinez, she's done well, but she really hasn't done anything in Ring of Honor. And I think Athena, especially since she wrestles all the time, I think just her walking around with the Ring of Honor Women's Championship just gives advertising. It gives advertisement right there. So I'm going with Athena to win it. All right, we don't have a banner. We don't have a banner for FTR versus the Briscoes. Listen, think about everything we said earlier about FTR, especially how futile their AEW record has been in 2022. The last thing that you're going to do in a matter of a couple of days is have FTR lose to the Acclaimed and lose their Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships as well. Them defeating the Briscoes in a double dog collar match at Final Battle will be kind of like the makeup for what happened tonight. So especially that they push so heavy that they have three championships right now. The last thing you're going to do is put it, look, people want to see the Briscoes and FTR go at it. They've had incredible matches. They had an incredible match the last time they faced. But the Briscoes aren't suddenly going to be the poster child tag team champions of Ring of Honor. Hell, you can't even like really mention their names ever. You know, maybe 3 days before a pay-per-view, and you just say it in passing, Briscoes have no shot. I mean, if they got TV and they announced it right after, then I could see them possibly with the Briscoes. You're not making FTR a double champion right now. You're leaving those three belts. It is so big a part of their gimmick right now. They back it up in the ring, but there ain't no way FTR's winning it. FTR absolutely will defeat the Briscoes double door collar match. So that leaves us one more match. Chris Jericho versus Claudio Castagnoli. If Jericho wins, Claudio is a member of the Jericho Appreciation Society. If Jericho loses, Claudio is the Ring of Honor heavyweight champion. Take note, there is no DQ with this. Claudio could win by disqualification. Claudio wins the match. He's not part of the Jericho Appreciation Society, but he's not Ring of Honor heavyweight champion either. So I don't think AEW would do the disqualification in Ring of Honor. Shit, they won't even do it in AEW. You think they're going to do it in Ring of Honor? I don't think so. I think Jericho actually is going to win this one. Claudio was Ring of Honor champion once before, and I don't think it really came with a lot of pomp and circumstance. Jericho, you know, even though they've been trying to play that Jericho has no honor and everything, Jericho I've enjoyed on TV. I just don't like the Ring of Honor force feeding like they've done. So I think to force the disbandment of the Blackpool Combat Club, you know, that's why Moxley didn't even address William Regal today. I think Moxley and Danielson could ultimately have a feud. You might even see something with Wheeler Yuta and Moxley, or Wheeler Yuta and Bryan Danielson. So I think if they're going to disband the Blackpool Combat Club, you got to do some of it by force. William Regal turning on John Moxley. Now you have Claudio being forced to be a part of the Jericho Appreciation Society. And the worst part about it is the feud between the Blackpool Combat Club and the Jericho Appreciation Society is not going to end. It's not ending Saturday. It's going to continue in a different form. The Blackpool Combat Club will no longer be, but the participants in the Blackpool Combat Club will still be feuding with the Jericho Appreciation Society. I think Claudio joins, and I think Claudio may even be forced to take on his friends. Think about it. Let it sink in. Let it sink in. All right, so that is your Ring of Honor-themed pay-per-view final battle. Let's quickly talk a little bit about NXT, because we do have deadline this Saturday. Now, remember, Ring of Honor is at 4 o'clock Eastern Saturday afternoon. And they said they're doing that because of football and everything else. I think that's part of it. I think also because NXT is on Saturday night at 7, you know, pre-shows at 7. So you get to see both. Now, I don't know how the fuck we're doing it here. I really was thinking about doing recaps Saturday night, but we have a Saturday morning show to do, and we have a Sunday night show to do. So I think we'll probably just do the recap of NXT and AEW as part of Sunday night show. Oh, and by the way, just wanted to just let everybody know this. Remember this? The Q&A, and we did the poll in the community section as far as future mailbags, Q&A mailbags. Well, I've actually compromised. By a vote of 54 to 46, you all voted majority that you want a Q&A mailbag every week. A small one, quick one, 30 minutes out of here. A lot of people voiced their displeasure for that. I want to try to make everybody happy, and I think I've come up with a decent compromise. For now, especially with the holidays, every 2 weeks, we do a mailbag. So I'm going to record the mailbag later this week, and I'll give it for everyone this weekend. But, you know, let's also remember, you know, the only way we do these mailbags is if you send questions in. And, you know, it's usually this 90% is the same people sending questions every time. And I don't mind that. Send it. But, you know, if you want these to be around, you know, you got to be part of it. So going into the community section, there's a thread if you want to post a question. Or email me, dontony@dontony.com. So we'll do a mailbag for this weekend, and then we'll bring it back the week before Christmas, and then we'll do it again the week after New Year's, and then we'll go from there. So every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks. All right, NXT. Man, I got pissed off yesterday at social media. I got so pissed off because of this. For those that didn't watch NXT yesterday or may not have paid any attention to NXT, the New Day showed up. The New Day spoiled Pretty Deadly's Christmas celebration or mocking of Christmas. And the New Day not only kind of laid out Pretty Deadly, and it was kind of goofy when the New Day threw the gift boxes over their heads. And it looked like that scene. I know I have mimicked it before on these shows. Remember the scene in The Naked Gun where he gets the towel thrown in his face? And, oh my God, this is, I promise you all, this is chocolate. This is not shit. I don't know if you could see it. But remember when he got, remember when, there he is. Remember when Frank Drebin was fighting with that guy, what was he, a police guy? And he was a patient in the hospital. He throws the towel in his face. He's, and I can't do it with my glasses. And he's like, throws it in there. And he's like, they smashed the presents over Pretty Deadly's head yesterday, and you could see clearly that you could fit Bertha Faye inside the box. His head is loose in the box, and he's holding the box like he can't pull it off, and meanwhile, he's got it tilted, and you could see all the room in there. Police squad! Frank Drebin. Anytime we get to... Oh, it was a pillow. I thought it was a towel. I don't have any pillows here. I don't have any pillows. Hey, I got my Sigma lens case. Look, very rare. Max Dupree, autographed photo. Max Dupree. Very surprised I got my hands on that. All right. So the New Day challenge, pretty deadly for the tag titles. And about 85 to 90% of the reaction yesterday was, WWE, what the fuck you doing? One of the greatest tag teams of all time, you put them in fucking NXT? Forget about, you know, oh, well, they never held the NXT tag titles. I kept thinking about 20 plus years ago. You had, like, developmental territories for WWE, Ohio Valley Wrestling, Heartland, Florida Championship Wrestling. I don't know what has changed, but if you had a veteran show up in a developmental, even remember when Bret Hart showed up in Memphis, you know, I think Owen Hart showed up in Memphis once, The Undertaker showed up, and people were like, unbelievable, epic, amazing. You know, just look up the McMahon, I can't remember what they used to call it, McMemphis. Go on YouTube, just type in WWF McMemphis. Look at all that shit. People loved it back in the day. Having a veteran tag team show up in NXT, the challenge, I love it. That's not a demotion for NXT. That is a nice rub for Pretty Deadly. And guess what? If NXT won those tag team championships, I'd be 100% behind it. It's a fun moment. It's not their imminent future. They're messing around with it. Dolph Ziggler, you know, he held the NXT championship for a little while, showed up with Bron Breakker. Robert Roode was there for a brief cup of coffee. I'm talking about coming back. There is absolutely zero wrong with the New Day showing up. I like the interaction. I think back to ECW when it was still considered a renegade promotion in 1996, and you would get somebody that would show, my God, people came in their pants when Arn Anderson and Bobby Eaton wrestled one match in 1994, I think it was. I mean, you would have someone show up once in a blue moon. Dr. Death Steve Williams shows up. You know, wasn't a household name for a lot of people, but because of what he did there, I mean, come on. People would show, it'd be cool. I don't know why people are so ridiculous. Yes, Savage showed up there. And Savage took it, you know what? Savage may have taken it the most serious. I don't want to take anything away from Brett or anyone else. They took it serious also, but I don't know why people are being so technical about this. I got so mad when I saw that shit yesterday. It's fine. So anyway, New Day showed up, and they challenged Pretty Deadly, and they got a title shot Saturday. So we'll do predictions in a moment. It's only five matches, I think, so that'll be quick. Yesterday, Axiom, to me, is an upset. He beat Von Wagner and Andre Chase to advance to the Iron Survivor Challenge. On the women's side, Indy Hartwell defeated Fallon Henley and Wendy Chu, so she advances, which is pretty cool. We were rooting for Indy. Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs over Malik Blade and Indra Sinofi. Isla Dawn defeated Thea Hale, pretty much a squash. Charlie Dempsey over Hank Walker. I know the local NXT crowd loves Hank Walker. I don't see it. Not even his tummy. I just don't see it. Sorry. That was a clusterfuck yesterday. Tony D'Angelo beating Zion Quinn. So much with the AE ain't coming back for a bunch of weeks. And then they're teasing Wesley Dijakovic, Tony D'Angelo. So that might be on the horizon. No update on Big E, Chris Maycock. No big update. So that was pretty much the gist of NXT yesterday. Now, before we get into predictions, I want to give a shout out to King of Games 405. Thank you for the five spot, my friend. Just showing some love and support for the show. Much appreciated. As I showed you earlier, Rojo Bear 24 is very happy that AEW is coming to El Paso. He is getting his tickets. Very, very cool. And KD with the 20 spot, my brother. Battle Royal was goofy. Ethan Page and Lee Moriarty clapping at Matt Hardy when he was attacking the Butcher. Neither of them bothered to help him toss him out of the ring because they don't want to get their hands dirty. Listen, the Battle Royal had some fun moments, but it had some bullshit moments. Nothing against Dalton Castle and his goofballs. But when Brian Cage kept pushing him over, it made Brian Cage look like an Oompa Loompa. They keep catching him, and he keeps pushing him. I pick him up and go to the other side of the ring and just throw him off. Now, ultimately, Brian Cage did throw him over the top rope, and Dalton Castle got eliminated. But, man, it was very clunky. It was just a lot of ways a mess. Orange Cassidy, he got eliminated early, and the crowd was not happy. And I was saying to myself, he's the Atlantic champion. Why is he even in this? You know, like, I know because they wanted Kip Sabian to eliminate him, so kind of plants the seed that they're going to have a match in the future. But, you know, with all due respect, I don't know what Kip Sabian does behind the scenes. I have nothing against that guy. But honestly, I don't see what his worth is in AEW. Even though he was injured, we don't want to see anybody injured. But, you know, I don't see ratings clamoring for Kip Sabian. But the Battle Royal was goofy. But in the end, look what we got. The right person won. Kind of wish Eddie Kingston was in it. A few others. Yeah, put Takeshita in there. I think people would have loved that. You make a couple of tweaks. Sean Dean. Like some of those names that they throw around all the time? No. Eddie Kingston, Takeshita, throw some others. I think quickly, even though the outcome may have still been Ricky Starks, I think people would have been much more warm to the match. So, yeah, KD, I'm not feeling it with Kip Sabian. It's not even about the guy liner or his hair or Penelope Ford. I have nothing against the guy personally. I don't see. You know what I think the problem with Kip Sabian is, for real? You know, I think the problem's been all along. Ever since he started in AEW, they treated him like he was this major star. Not main eventer, but if you remember in the early days of AEW when Kip Sabian was all over the TV, even before the Miro stuff, they were treating him like he was this established star. And, you know, I'm looking at it, I'm saying to myself, am I missing something here? Did I get, like, hit over the head with a rock? And did I, like, pass out for, like, 3 years? Did, you know, like, someone else, like, do the shows for me? Like, I don't remember, like, where did this happen? And I think because of that, there was this level of expectation that should have never been put on that guy. And I'm giving him more of a compliment right now than a shot. Look at him from day one. Look at some of the stuff. Just look up Kip Sabian 2019, AEW. Watch some of the segments. And you'll say to yourself, you know, was he, like, I don't want to go there. I get my mouth in trouble. You know, what was he with Penelope Ford? Or was he doing the favors for someone else? No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. Much love. Thank you, KD. All right. Let's get into predictions. People get so mad when I do that. I just love Miro. Seriously. Miro, I'm not kidding, guys. Miro may legitimately be my favorite AEW star right now. Because, first of all, look at his home situation. Look at his house. Look at what he owns. Look at, you know, who he's with. You got to admire the man. Look at his physical shape. Look at the contract he has. Look at every week. Honey, guess what? I get to stay home tonight. No, I don't have to worry. They deemed another paycheck. I don't even know where that impersonation came from, but I'm not kidding. I think Miro is my favorite AEW star right now because that motherfucker is banked so much money. Oh, my God. We used to make fun of WCW paying people just to stay home. Now, Tony Khan doesn't do that on a huge level. I mean, you know, but I don't understand what the fuck. Maybe we'll find out, like, Miro had malaria or something. Maybe we'll find out later that he had some blah, 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 blah stand disease, and he just couldn't wrestle. There's no excuse. And if he ends up facing Orange Cassidy Friday, like, you held him out for this? Love that guy, for real. Not even a joke. All right, let's get into NXT. All right. Isla Dawn. She will put out Albus Fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Isla Dawn has to get a substantial win. I think she came in with some crazy momentum. Alba Fire, I like. Alba Fire has shown with all due respect, that she is not ready for prime time, not ready for the main roster. She still needs a little bit more seasoning. I think Isla Dawn needs this win a hell of a lot more than Alba Fire does. Alba Fire doesn't have much momentum right now, unless they do some bullshit disqualification victory here. But, sorry. Someone next. And they didn't have to super chat it. So I'm going to go with Isla Dawn to beat Alba Fire. Maybe she cheats to win. I think this feud continues. I just hope we don't get some bullshit disqualification win where somebody, you know, throws fire or spits mist or, you know, does something stupid, you know, just to try to drag this. You know, somebody could win. And then after the match is over, you do something absolutely horrendous and the feud continues. So Isla Dawn, and it's not about her look, you know, but she's actually, I think she has got enough that you give it about a month or two, I think you will see a hardcore fan base out there really over for Isla Dawn. That name will become very, very popular in NXT in a very short amount of time. I'm telling you. She's got it. She's not going to be a main eventer anytime soon, but she's got it. And honestly, I would put Isla Dawn above Alba Fire in the food chain right now. Kid you not. If you haven't seen her work, you know, go do a little YouTube searching and you'll see why I say that. She's actually pretty damn good. So I'll probably get it wrong, but I'm going with Isla Dawn to win that one. All right, next. Boy, man, I don't know how to react to this. I mean, look, I think Pretty Deadly keeps their tag titles. You almost feel like there should be a title change on this show, but Mandy Rose is not defending it. Braun is, but I think I'm kind of giving away what I think the outcome is going to be there. You know, you almost feel like we should have a title change, and I don't feel one coming. Pretty Deadly will get an awesome rub from the New Day in this match, but I got to be honest with you. As a wrestling fan, I think it'd be pretty fucking cool to have the New Day win those NXT tag titles. It's not a demotion. It's not a step down. They're still one of the most over tag teams in, you know, the recent history of WWE. Fans still buy their shit. They're not getting squashed. So even though I'm going with Pretty Deadly to retain, I'm rooting for the New Day. I think it'd be pretty fucking cool for them to hold every tag team championship. They don't have to keep the belts all that long. But what's wrong with it? Listen, if you're a fan of, this is what I don't understand. If you're a fan of NXT, which is developmental, why would you not want to have once in a while someone who really could do it? You know what's really strange about it also? If you did the reverse, if an NXT star showed up on WWE television, Raw or SmackDown, and people felt they were ready for the main roster, people would fucking pop for it. I mean, not saying that Roderick Strong is not ready for primetime. Of course, Roderick Strong is a main roster star. But, you know, people forget when Roderick Strong wrestled at Survivor Series. You know, I mean, I think people seem to forget that as an NXT champion. So, you know, when you have someone from NXT show up on Raw or SmackDown, if it's somebody you really like, you're like, oh, shit, that's fucking awesome. Especially if they issue a challenge, they're not going to win it, but still people will be like, oh, fuck, that's awesome. You know, when Keith Lee first graduated to the main roster and then had that moment with Brock Lesnar, hey, big boy, you know, we knew Keith Lee was main roster quality. You know, but the point is that if it's the opposite, people kind of like love it and fascinated about it, but you do this and people shit on it. I'm rooting for the New Day. Not saying they're going to get it, but I'm rooting for them. I think it'd be pretty cool. I think it'd be pretty damn cool. But I think it'll end up being pretty damn deadly. See what I did there. Next, okay. The Iron Survivor Challenge. We have Roxanne Perez versus Corey. Don't worry, I have the rules, everyone. I will explain the rules after I take a slug. Let me tell you the participants first. Roxanne Perez versus Cora Jade versus Zori Stark versus Kiana James versus Indy Hartwell. Please, I do not want to see Nikita Lyons get involved and cause Zoe Stark to get a win. Actually, no. I'll explain why that's not even a possibility. I'll explain why in a moment. All right. To anybody out there that does not understand the rules of the Iron Survivor Challenge, I typed these up myself. I think I did a pretty damn good job. So here you go. These are the rules, everyone. Five superstars will compete in a 25-minute match. Two superstars start. Every 5 minutes, a new superstar enters the match until all five are in the ring. So far, it sounds like War Games without the cage. The goal, have the most falls when the clock hits 25 minutes. Which means, guys, unless we get an overtime, each match will be 25 minutes. Falls can be won at any time by pinfall, submission, or disqualification. When a superstar scores a fall, they earn 1 point. Now, when a superstar loses a fall, they are forced into a penalty box for 90 seconds. After 90 seconds, that star can re-enter the match. At the end of 25 minutes, the superstar with the most falls is named the Iron Survivor and becomes the number one contender for either the NXT Championship or the NXT Women's Championship. So it's a combination of Iron Man meets War Games meets Survivor Series, I guess. You know, as we said before, no one's going to get pinned in the first 5 minutes of the matches. Think about it. The first 5 minutes, there's two people in the ring. If somebody gets pinned after 2 minutes, that means for 90 seconds, someone's going to be in the ring by themselves. Plus, if Nikita Lyons shows up and causes the victory or causes a disqualification for Zoe Stark, who gets the loss? Think about that for a minute. Let's say Zoe Stark is in the ring with Cora Jane and Roxanne Perez. And let's say Nikita Lyons shows up and starts wailing on Zoe Stark. Zoe Stark, what happens? Does she get a disqualification win? Does she get a fall because of that? And then if that's the case, who goes in the penalty box? So that's why I don't know if we're going to get any interference, because it gets a little complicated quick. You could see where this could go off the rails. You start thinking of certain scenarios, you realize this could turn pretty messy pretty quickly, pretty deadly. So, yeah, those are the rules. So here, you got to look at it like this. Who is the champion? Mandy Rose. Who is the person out of all of these women that could likely defeat her for that championship? Am I saying any of these five women will become NXT Women's Champion next? I'm not necessarily saying that. But out of these five women, who do I think is most likely to take on Roxanne Perez for that championship? I'm going with Roxanne Perez. Maybe Nikita Lyons does get involved in some way, and it would be a really creative way to do it. Cora Jade, I don't know if WWE would have her face Mandy Rose for the championship. You know what I mean? Unless they start making Mandy Rose a little bit more of a baby face. That's been discussed. They have been discussing about her being a little more of a tweener and having some heels go after her as well and get a little bit of baby face support. I mean, we really have not seen that develop on TV yet, but if they were going to go in that direction, then sure, I could see Cora Jade winning this, and that would be pretty badass. Zoe Stark, I don't think fans want to see that in Mandy Rose. Not that, meaning like insulting her. I'm saying I don't think they want to see that match between those two. Indy Hartwell, I'm not feeling it either. And Fallon Henley is way, Kiana James, excuse me, is way too soon. Even though they have a lot of support for Kiana James, she might be on the fast track of the main roster. We've talked about that before. So I'm going with Roxanne Perez to take this one. I think she could very well be the next person to take on Mandy Rose. And who knows? She may actually end up beating her. This leaves the men's Iron Survivor Challenge. We have Axiom versus Carmelo Hayes versus Grayson Waller versus J.D. McDonough versus Joe Gacy. The winner of this match will become the number one contender for Bron Breakker. So let's narrow this down a little bit. Joe Gacy, I don't think they revisit that. We had that match. What was it? In Your House, I believe it was. It was okay, but I don't think even with, you know, the schism formed the way they are, I don't think we see that revisited. J.D. McDonough, I think he has unfinished business with Ilya Dragunov, so I say no to J.D. McDonough. Plus, he already got into it with Bron Breakker, so I say no to J.D. McDonough. Axiom, the crowd loves A-Kid, and A-Kid is awesome. I'm just not feeling it yet for Axiom as a main eventer. So Axiom, I take out as well. That leaves us Carmelo Hayes and Grayson Waller. Grayson Waller, it's been so strange, everyone, because by now I expected Grayson Waller to hold a lot more gold in NXT, and that hasn't happened. In fact, Grayson Waller, it feels like there's some missed opportunities in 2022. But Carmelo Hayes, man, that guy I've been saying for a very long time right now, by now, he should be NXT Heavyweight Champion. He's got to hold that heavyweight title at least once before they bring him to the main roster. And I think that crowd will get behind Carmelo Hayes big time if he gets into a world title feud with Bron Breakker. So not only am I going to go with Carmelo Hayes to win this match, I think he could very well end up defeating Bron Breakker for that championship as well. Carmelo Hayes has it. You know he has it. It's just a matter of time before he gets to the main roster. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So I'm going with Carmelo Hayes to win this. But again, Grayson Waller, it's something strange, man. He's not going after the North American Championship. He doesn't have a tag partner. Like, it's like he's a character, and I used to hate that guy. He's one of my favorites right now. He's not my favorite, but hell, I even like Von Wagner now. Go figure. But for some reason, Grayson Waller, I don't know what it is. Maybe they just think, look, this guy's got it. We don't need to do much else. Just let him, you know, and we'll just keep using him the way he is. So I'm going to go with Carmelo Hayes to win this one. So that leaves the main event. Bron Breakker defending the NXT Championship against Apollo Crews. Now, if you heard what I just said, I kept saying Melo's gonna could very well beat Bron Breakker. Bron Breakker, Bron Breakker, Bron Breakker. They don't think there's any chance whatsoever Apollo Crews beats Bron Breakker. I think it'll be a very competitive match. I think there'll be a major sign of respect after the match. I think somebody shows up and maybe attacks Apollo Crews right afterwards. Who knows? Maybe Carmelo Hayes shows up and lays them both out. Because if you remember, Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams kind of have a beef with Apollo Crews. So I'm going to go with Bron Breakker to retain. After the match is over, I think we could very well end up seeing Carmelo Hayes get involved, lay one or both of them out. But yeah, Bron Breakker is going to retain. And that is your NXT deadline. You know, both shows look decent. I mean, I will admit, there ain't no way I'm paying $40 for Ring of Honor, because a lot of those matches, it feels like I could see them on Dynamite or Rampage. Yeah, look, the money of this card is the Briscoes versus FTR. If you're a Ring of Honor fan, if you're a Briscoes fan, you're buying this pay-per-view. I think it's a given. And yes, if anybody's going to ask me, there have been times way back when that I would order a pay-per-view because of one or two people. If I really like someone that much, I would order something to see what they're going to do or who they're going to face. You know, of course, the Briscoes are not on the level of, you know, some major stars in the world of pro wrestling, but they have a cult following, man. And, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So the more we don't get the Briscoes on any form of AEW television, especially that they're signed to a deal with Tony Khan, the more people want to see them. So they're going to be the draw for this card. But for me, it's not worth $40. So maybe I order it last minute. You know, that's going to be a lot of wrestling to watch Saturday. But I think the event's going to be a lot better than people are expecting. And I'm very curious to see what the announcement is regarding possible TV for Ring of Honor in the future. Be really, really curious to see that. And, you know, once this is over, you know, Ring of Honor does not have another pay-per-view for many months. Let's see what the footprint of Ring of Honor is on Dynamite and Rampage after this weekend. Let's see if what Tony Khan said was just to try to calm the waters a little bit, but no real, you know, clear vision to keep it, what he is saying he's going to do. Or maybe he does feel that, you know, hey, you know, we tried. Maybe they do have some form of a deal. And that's why, and that could be the reason why he's saying this now. It could very well be that Tony Khan knows he's got some deal, whether it's YouTube or Fight TV or something like that. And he feels, all right, now we got something lined in place. Now I could say to people, yeah, we're going to pull back Ring of Honor a little bit. We hear the criticism, but in actuality, the only reason why they're pulling back is because now they know they got some other deal. But again, if that happens, you got to look at the technical side of things. That is a lot of work to do. So if you're going to piggyback it on existing events that take place weekly, it's going to be long nights for people who go. But, you know, let's see what happens. So, hey, you know, overall with that media call earlier, I give a lot of props to Tony Khan. And that's not just sympathy for what happened to his mom. You know, it's, you could feel a little bit of a maturity level there. And I've always brought this up too. You look at how he talks about football and how he talks about football, because that's what they call soccer overseas, soccer and football. You hear the way he talks for those sports, very, very professional. Very, maybe pro wrestling just brings the kid out of Tony Khan. Doesn't pro wrestling kind of bring the kid out of all of us still? Especially when people out there really think that Sami Zayn is going to get killed by the bloodline. You know, it's a storyline. It's entertainment. They already know what the outcome is going to be. But as fans, you know, people are talking about online as if it was, you know, not a form of entertainment. So kind of brings the kid out of all of us. But, you know, that's not, that doesn't justify shit TV. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, it brings the kid out of Tony Khan. No, if it's shit TV, I'm not watching. So, all right, everybody. I'm going to jet out of here. I hope you all have a great rest of your week. If you enjoyed this episode, take a moment, smash that thumbs up. Like, share, subscribe. You know, I am a very small YouTuber. And any, you know, of that helps me more than you know. Post a comment. Let me know what you thought about the shows, what you thought about, you know, what Tony Khan said about William Regal. How do you feel about Regal walking out? You know, I mean, it's cool he wants to see his son, but, you know, think about what Tony Khan said at the very end of that media call. I can't reunite families all the time. You know, this is what happens in the world of pro wrestling. You have people work for different promotions. What makes William Regal any different? So, cool move by Tony Khan. Very cool move. But you also, in the back of your mind, have to say to yourself, hey, you know, William Regal committed to a deal. Yes, there was an opt-out clause that had to be, you know, approved. But, you know, I mean, why the rush to get out? Yes, I know we know the answer, but you take a step back, you think about it, you know, what's another year when you really think about it? Is that do or die for Charlie Dempsey? No. Charlie Dempsey still has a long ways to go. But hey, Tony Khan agreed to it, very professional. You realize all that rumor crap about, you know, management and people not looking up to Regal. God, don't even waste your energy on that stuff. That's just people just trying to get you to, like, pay attention to this stuff, no matter which side you were on that. You know, if it smells like bullshit and it tastes like bullshit and it looks like bullshit and it's it's probably bullshit. I almost said if it sounds like bullshit. Bullshit make a sound? I have no idea, but be well, everyone. Make sure, if you're around Saturday morning, join me here, 11:05 a.m. I will be here for the Don Tony Show. We will get into any news that transpires between now and then, and we'll probably recap AEW and NXT Sunday night. That's where I'm leaning towards, especially when you know everybody and their mother's going to be having a live review, so allows me to get to sleep, think about it, watch it at my leisure, and then talk about it. So be well, everyone. Much love. What happened? Oh, no, not again. Da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. What the hell? Oh, by the way, I fixed the scrolling problem. If anybody remembered Monday, there was like an epic fail on the shows, but I did fix the scrolling problem. It was exactly what I said. Yeah, we keep getting that Superman thing. But no, this will really work this time.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else.
Boo! That'll happen. Why does this keep happening?
Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of
bonus,
schnooks.
Bonus. CM Punk posted on his Instagram story earlier today. We'll talk about it on Saturday. He also, I think, showed a little bit of love for MJF with this photo as well. Satan is happy with your progress. We'll talk about that on Saturday. But yeah, he posted on his Instagram stories earlier today. Little shout at Luke Gallows. I'll get the answers. I'll get a little info with that. Maybe just trolling people online. But be well, everyone. Much love.